Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series. Today we are talking to Tariq Altoumi, Program Director of Lawyers for Justice, a non-governmental organization in Libya. And we will be addressing issues related to the Green Tree event, which has gathered high-level participants to discuss implementation of the principle of complementarity. Mr. Altoumi, welcome to ICTJ's podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
As we know, the society in Libya is now facing a huge task of addressing the legacy of the decades of dictatorship of Muammar Gaddafi, also the conflict that saw him toppled. How do you assess the capacity of Libyan judiciary to lead this process?
The status of the Libyan judiciary, because of the Gaddafi regime's practices, meant that a lot of Libyans lost trust and confidence in the judiciary. So the challenges are substantial, but not insurmountable. If we were to look at the infrastructure of the Libyan judiciary at the moment, it's more or less obliterated in terms of physical infrastructure. But it wasn't that good to start with, even before the revolution. What Libya doesn't lack is bright legal minds in the legal profession and in the judiciary. There are practices which need to be reviewed, and that's because of the lack of vocational training under the Gaddafi regime. But I think with the right technical assistance and the right initiatives for capacity building from the international community, from organizations like the ICC and the UN, and from the international development community, as well as people like myself and my colleagues in my organization, Libyan lawyers from the diaspora, we can help them to develop their capacity in such a way as to meet the challenges of post-revolutionary Libya.
What would you say is the sort of technical expertise that you mentioned that is needed to equip Libyan courts to be able to handle serious crimes?
Well, I think you need to start looking at the entire life of a criminal file, for instance. So it needs to branch out into the security services so that they know how to apply the proper criminal procedures. The Libyan prosecutors need to be trained on how to investigate, how to collect evidence, how to interview witnesses. And then the Libyan judiciary needs to be complementarily trained in how to analyze and assess that kind of evidence and those kinds of investigations. A lot of it is based on soft skills, and Lawyers for Justice in Libya held a training event in Tunis at the end of September, where we trained 30 Libyan lawyers and judges and prosecutors on international human rights law. But we also had a number of practical exercises, and we saw that basic skills like interviewing a victim of torture or interviewing someone who had allegedly committed an atrocity, those skills were not there. I mean, academic training would also be useful to bring them up to speed on principles of international human rights law and how that works in conjunction with Libyan law.
We know that the International Criminal Court has an active case when it comes to Libya. Saif al-Gaddafi and former intelligence chief Senussi are in captivity. What do you see the role of the ICC to be in the Libyan context?
The ICC was hailed as a savior by the Libyan people. I think when the situation was referred in record time by the Security Council to the ICC, and when the indictments were issued later on. But I think there was a widespread sense of disappointment with the ICC's work in Libya in terms of their failure to mobilize, to collect valuable evidence that may or may not have been lost now, or its integrity compromised, in terms of their failure to work closely with the Libyan legal profession and the government. So I think the role of the ICC is, of course, to assess the willingness and the ability of the Libyan judiciary to prosecute Saif and Abdullah Sanusi. The willingness, of course, is undoubtedly there. The ability may or may not be a subjective test, but in the sense that there is lacking ability, then the ICC's role could very well be to mobilize on the ground effectively to prop up or support the Libyan judiciary's ability to prosecute those two individuals. The overwhelming popular sentiment in Libya is to subject them to Libyan justice and to Libyan punishment, and particularly the death penalty, which is worrying because they've been captured now for a number of weeks and we don't know what the charges against them are. But it should also be clear that there is a view that it might be sensible to try them at The Hague in order to avoid any destabilizing consequences that a trial in Libya may have, whether it be political and security destabilization of the country, or whether it be the risk that they make a mockery of the court and further undermine the legitimacy of the Libyan judiciary in people's minds.
Do you think that there is a role for the ICC in supporting national capacity in terms of providing assistance, in terms of providing expertise, as you said, propping up this effort in with the aim of implementing the complementarity principle?
I think so. I think it goes hand in hand with the complementarity principle. I mean, in accordance with that, the ICC is a court of last resort, and to the extent that the judges at the ICC can be convinced that there is an ability in Libya to prosecute Saif and Sanusi in a just and fair way, if they arrive at that determination, then there should be no obstacle to provision of technical assistance which would further that goal.
Lastly, here at Green Tree, we are gathered to address the role of development agencies in implementing the concept of complementarity. How do you see their role, and what is it that you expect from this event?
I see the role of development agencies in relation to complementarity as being one where they become closer to the judicial community, international community, and the community that's focused on implementing rule of law. I think their work complements each other very well. In Libya, I'd like to see that through the development community providing assistance directly to the Libyan legal profession and to members of the Libyan judiciary. And in that way further the promotion of the rule of law in a very active and direct way.
Tariq Altoumi, it's been a great pleasure having you as a guest of ICTJ's podcast.
It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you.